Hello, my very fine members of SiriusPod.com. Thank you so much for your support. I wanted to, as a little bonus, just for you guys, no one else, I wanted to talk about a really excellent voicemail that didn't fit with the last episode, but I think is going to be interesting, and I have some thoughts about it.
Hi, Thomas. Really love your show. I agree with you on most things, but there's one thing we disagree on, so I just wanted to let you know. So in your episode on fat shaming, you seem to base your position on the idea that hypocrisy should be pointed out, and I kind of saw this in your analysis of Damore, too. My position on hypocrisy is actually that it's an unhelpful moral relativist concept. Basically, if you believe in objective moral foundation, such as humanism, then, every action can be judged as either an okay thing, if a pastor is gay, or a bad thing, let's say a democratic senator harasses people. However, in a model that values hypocrisy as a thing, both of those things would be considered hypocrisy. And I think that, basically the problem is that this tends to penalize people with more standards. And sometimes that's a good thing when, in the gay example, but sometimes it's a bad thing. You could say that a party that doesn't care about sexual harassment isn't as bad as their members sexually harass people. So I don't think that pushing for less standards is necessarily a good thing. Also, I think that focusing on hypocrisy leads to, symmetric arguments that aren't useful. When Democrats will say that Republicans claim to be pro-life, but they're, pro-gun, so that doesn't make any sense. And then Republicans will say pretty much the exact same thing, except from the opposite position. So I just think that, it gets in the weeds and everyone starts just making arguments that are based on the other person's positions rather than their own and never actually making sincere points or trying to score points. Anyway, love the show. Keep up the good work. And, hopefully this gets played.
Hey, I could not agree more. So this is something I've thought a lot about, and it's mainly because of the Mythicist Milwaukee thing that ended up. It's weird when you look at it. I still haven't watched the whole thing. But I have a pretty vivid memory of it, but someday I will. But anyway, it's how much of it, if you listened to that or if you've had any other conversations with the alt-right or anybody alt-right-ish online, how much of it is just trying to find where I have not met a standard that I've set, as you're pointing out. And that's kind of the symmetrical argument thing. So going through your voicemail, first off, well, I don't know if you remember. Going through this voicemail, first off, I would say that I thought it was really one thing that I hadn't considered that I'm really thankful to this caller for is I do like the idea, or rather, I find it fascinating and worthwhile to think about the idea that focusing on hypocrisy punishes or disfavors any moral system that has more requirements, and it's kind of an asymmetric thing. That's an aspect of it I hadn't necessarily thought of. I will say that as it relates to the discussion you referenced, which was the James Damore discussion and the fat-shaming Trump discussion, I will say that I don't know that it was exactly a focus on hypocrisy. In other words, I think that it doesn't, and I don't know what your intent was, but if one were to say that our James Damore coverage of the lawsuit focused too much on his hypocrisy, I would say it didn't really. I mean, that was an element of it to point out, but Andrew just as much. In fact, I don't even know that I think I brought it into this discussion. Andrew just as much would have broken down the incompetent portions of the lawsuit. And because for all we know, the lawyer who drew this up, he's not a libertarian. It's not as though the criticism of that lawsuit rested on it being hypocrisy. But I don't think that hypocrisy is an out of bounds or should be an out of bounds thing to point out. So when we said, okay, this lawsuit is nonsense, and not only is it nonsense, like for completely independent of whoever filed it, it's particularly frustrating for a strong libertarian to have filed it because so many of the arguments he made in our discussion go against the very foundations of what he's using to even file that lawsuit. So while I totally see a lot of what you're saying, and I think it's interesting to think about, and there's other areas I'm going to go into, in relation to James Damore, I actually don't think it would change or should change how we talked about that. I think it's the emphasis was on what the law is, why this brief or this suit is invalid, and also why it's particularly hypocritical for him to be doing that. I think that that's, if it were only the hypocrite part, if it were only just, hey, look at this, he's a libertarian and he filed this, then I would agree with you that that isn't very powerful, because someone else could file, well, for many reasons, but yeah, someone else could file the same lawsuit and then it'd be like, oh, it's okay for them to do it. So that's how I'll answer on that. When it comes to Trump, I really think it's critical. It's a critical part of his male entitlement to point out that his standards of beauty and whatever, and of looks and of body, his standards, he only applies to women and doesn't apply to himself or even really other men all that much. I think from what I've read, he does in his personal life. And I guess he did do the Little Marco stuff. So you know what? I think it is just him. He applies standards to other people that he doesn't apply to himself when it comes to looks. And I think it's very valid to point that out. I think it's very valid to point that out. Now, how we go about doing that, I think there is a plenty of room for disagreement on that. I think that it doesn't even, I guess it doesn't even matter, you know, because it's not as though the criticism of the women that he's criticized would be valid if Trump were some fine specimen of a man. And that's something people pointed out, and I should have emphasized that more. That's not what I was saying. Like, it would still be a bad thing. We should just argue for the principles. And this is what I do strongly agree with in your voicemail, is that it's more important to talk about the principles and the moral, I guess, prescriptions and rules that you want, rather than finding examples of people who aren't fulfilling them. I strongly agree with that. So I would say, I think they can go hand in hand, though. That's the thing. I don't think it has to be necessarily only one. I think as long as you're making the case, so as long as you're saying, I think it's a better world and it's a better society if we don't shame people for how we look. And then you also say, not only that, Mr. Trump, you fail at your own standards. I think that's valid. But yeah, when it comes to these arguments I have with shitlords from time to time, it does seem to be the game is, can we find where you, Thomas, didn't live up to something you're saying? And if they can find any example of where, you know, I got mad in a tweet, then that means it's they win somehow. And that's the part that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it doesn't, okay, maybe I... whoever we're talking about, whoever's doing the arguing, maybe they have shortcomings, but that doesn't make their whole principle wrong. And it seems to me that this is more or less like completely what our terrible politics is now. But it's interesting that I actually think the example you brought up of pro-life and gun, I think that's more of a linguistic trick. You know, I don't actually think, because there isn't really any hypocrisy in saying, I believe life begins at conception, and I also believe that we have a right to own firearms. Like, that doesn't, there's no inherent hypocrisy in that. There's a linguistic one, and there's sort of a, if you look at the broad effects where you're trying to protect life in one instance, and then your policies might lead to firearm deaths in the other. Yeah, there's a tension there, I don't actually think it's hypocrisy, and I think that pointing to it as hypocrisy is less to do with the inherent problems of hypocrisy and more to do with a linguistic thing that's happening. But I also totally agree that the more important thing to talk about is what is the best policy. And you're absolutely right in that. So let's just pretend we have no data. You know, it could be like if we hypothetically found the data showed that owning a firearm decreases deaths overall. It could be that that's the right policy question there, the policy answer there. And then still having abortions is the right policy answer because of other reasons. Like, there's no reason that it has to be one team win both versus the other. You know what I mean? That's where I think what you're saying is very valid, or what the voicemail is saying is very valid, which is that's not what to look at. We need to look at what is the best policy in these scenarios. It doesn't matter if it's in tension with something else Republicans are trying to do. Now, where I find this to be dominant in the discussion is politics in the U.S. right now seems to me to be almost exclusively about, well, they did this before, and not even in policy. It's more procedure. So it's, well, the Democrats procedurally did this, so therefore we can do this. And then the Republicans, it goes back and forth and back and forth. And in my opinion, Republicans are taking way too much advantage of it. They're leveraging some past misdeeds that by Democrats to a vastly different extent and vastly more profoundly harmful extent than Democrats. But there's still, of course, and, you know, there still are procedural things that Democrats have done to try to win points or win policy. And it seems to me that that's where this is really boring and really pointless and harmful, is that that seems to be almost all of what congressional politics is. Oh, well, they did that, so we're going to do that. And it's really tiresome. Another stalemate that comes to my mind is back with the Sargon discussion, with the Carl discussion, where I pointed out the hypocrisy in him pinning everything that an SJW has ever done on me, while also arguing for individuality, and we aren't groups, and it's just individuals. And so I would be curious what you think the way to go there is. Now, maybe this is just because that is a complex argument, because when he's applying individual, you know, we need to look at people as individuals. What he's really saying is it's partly that, but it's also when it comes to the question of how as a society do we deal with and do we make up for the fact that Black people were, with the sponsorship of the government, discriminated against for so long, were set back in terms of wealth, in terms of government programs, all this stuff, just countless stuff. How do we deal with that? And what he wants to be true is that doesn't matter. You can't punish anyone else for anyone's actions in the past. You can't. And he looks at it as any program you do that favors people of color is actually an attack on white people. And you can't do that because we need to treat people as individuals. So if I'm trying to apply what you've said in your voicemail, which I think is very good, I think that it definitely means I can't just say, well, you blamed me for everything SJWs have done, so you're a hypocrite and your argument is wrong. That's definitely fallacious. It could be true that Carl is right in one area, but he's also a hypocrite. And I think that I take that as the best message. Hopefully I'm understanding you correctly, but I take that as a very good message of your voicemail, which is that it is sort of a fallacy to say if someone doesn't live up to standards they've set, that therefore those are bad standards. That doesn't follow at all. I do think it could be valid to say if you had an argument that like nobody can stand up to these standards, that's an argument. And so that might be inclusive. So like if you have standards that you don't meet and are pretty much impossible for people to meet, tied into that argument that, hey, you're being a hypocrite because nobody can meet these. I think that's a valid tie in there. But when it comes to the Carl argument about race, I mean, I think the principle is more about history and society not treating Black people as individuals to begin with. They have been persecuted and discriminated against in a way that already takes away the individuality and otherizes and puts them into a group. So you're never going to fix that in a way that treats everybody in society as an individual, I think. But I don't know, that's where it kind of goes into a more complicated territory and doesn't really become about hypocrisy. But I think, I don't know, I still think it's worthwhile to point out inconsistencies while still recognizing, okay, what if I were arguing against a person like Carl who didn't make the mistake of treating me as a group? You know, then their arguments would still stand. I mean, that's how I'm kind of thinking about it. I think it's okay to point out hypocrisy and inconsistency as long as it's not the end of the story. So those are my thoughts. I don't know that I have this all figured out. It's something I've been thinking. It's the reason I almost wanted to write a blog or do an episode on this, but still sorting it out exactly, and I don't know that I have it all right. So I'm curious if you guys have any opinions on this, and I hope someone, if this caller is not a member, somehow I gotta let him know. Okay, caller, if you are a member, let me know that you heard this. If not, I'll try to get a hold of you and send you this. I feel like it's fair is fair since you were the caller. But anyway, thank you, my kind members, so much. Hope you enjoyed that little extra bonus. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. And thanks for listening and supporting, as always. Talk to you soon.